The 3D printing of human bones is technology that can improve medical procedures, help experts map human evolution, and can even be used in court to exhibit how somebody died. But it also poses an ethical dilemma. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Arthur Kaplan, a professor of bioethics at New York University. Professor, thanks for joining us this morning. You know, to be clear on this, these 3D bones that are being printed, are they originals or are they based on existing human bones? Is that part of the ethical problem here?
Yeah, they're based on existing human bones, and that is the ethical problem. Some of the bones we have that are of keen interest to scientists are in museums where, if you will, there's no permission for the bones to be there. So that raises some tough questions when you start duplicating.
So what is the future use of a 3D printed bone?
Well, you know, you can use them medically, literally, to someday replace bone. But for research purposes, what you do is you study evolution. You see, oh, this is how bones evolved. You can put series of things together from around the world, produce them, then let scientists study them. You obviously don't want to take apart an original bone that might be a fossil bone. But if you make a copy from all angles, you can pull it apart and see its structure. There are a bunch of uses you can have here that are both, if you will, for science and archaeology. And then in legal areas, you can send these images around and even solve murders by having the bones available.
As things stand now, how tightly controlled are these 3D bones?
Not at all. That's the shortest answer I can give you. Really, no regulations at all.
And let's talk, so there's sort of an intermediate step here, right? So if there's a bone somewhere, whether it's in a museum or a cemetery, potentially, then there's the digital representation of that bone, which is not actually a bone, it's just a bunch of bits. But then there's the next step, which is to print from that digital file an identical replica.
Correct. And some people would say, well, if I just had the digital items, that's not the same as having the bone. So once it becomes digitized, then it's out there and free to anyone who wants to make bones from the information. Others are going to say, well, wait a minute, some of these bones are owned. That is, they're literally the possessions of a museum or a medical examiner or a private collector, whoever. And they're not too happy about all of a sudden having this information out there so that anybody can make these bones.
How much can be learned from a digitized bone? I mean, for example, could you ultimately identify whose bone it is?
You could. Probably people are thinking about little bits of bone. But remember, we're talking here about skulls. We're talking about bones that would really allow you to rebuild a facial appearance. Not always could you get to the identity of who it is, but sometimes you could. And again, you might be doing that without anybody's permission.
Is this a 21st century revved up version of what might have been argued about 200 or 300 years ago, life masks and body casts?
Absolutely, yes. At one point in time, we were making copies of things by plaster of Paris, and people got nervous about that. And remember, a lot of the bones that we have collected, they were brought in by explorers, they were brought in by archaeologists who went and just took things back from countries. So part of the reason the digitized thing is creating so much controversy is the original material was collected oftentimes under what we today would say was pretty shady circumstances.
Professor Kaplan, thanks for your time this morning and your thoughts on this issue. Arthur Kaplan, a professor of bioethics at New York University.